from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Before we start the show, here's a little thing that... Here's a bit of call out to people who listen to the show, because I remember that a few of you managed to track this person down. I've been trying to get a hold of the individual that owns thegoodatheist.com with no avail. His email that's provided, you know... In one of those...
Oh, in the DNS registry for the goodatheist.com?
It seems to reject most emails now, so I don't even know what the fuck is the deal with this dude. I want to sit down and say, I don't want to say .net anymore, man. Let's sit down and have a conversation.
And isn't there something going on where, like, because even if you go to .com, it forwards you onto the .net site, but it does it in a weird masking way that messes up some of the membership options?
Yes and no. For one fan put that up in our comments, but the truth is, I tested it. It seemed to work okay, but who knows, right? Who knows? It's not my domain, though.
Depending on what browser, what version, what...
Who knows?
It's crazy. Trust me, people. When you start running a website that's visited by a lot of people, you start to find out all sorts of crazy things that can totally not work for anybody.
The internet is a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's a messy, STD-fueled nightmare.
It's mainly Microsoft's fault.
All right.
Doug, when I just want to say this. When Bill Gates dies, even though he's done much more for the world, people ain't going to give half a shit as they did for Steve Jobs for giving them their precious... Oh, their precious iPhone. Oh, my precious.
I don't know. I think that in a couple of decades, we'll all have forgotten this, and it won't be important. But what is important is the fact that we're trying to... exist now. We're trying to do well now, and not owning the .com I feel is silly, and I want to do better, and I want to get that domain. So let's work on trying to get that achieved. So if anybody out there is a super fucking sleuth that can do searches that I could only dream of beyond the whole DNS fucking email,
people in the American government with Patriot Act clearance, you know
hint,
what we're
hint,
talking
nudge,
about.
Nudge, nudge. Yeah. You special fans out there. If you could get us that person's information, that would be great, because I think it would be cool if in the next year I don't have to say .net. I think it's stupid. No one hears it, obviously, since many people are still going to .com, which I do not own, but it's being forwarded, so I think that's good. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about an evangelical preacher called Tony Anthony, who's just such a delight to research. The more I find out about this guy, the more I find that he's just absolutely hilarious. And the other thing, too, is I'm going to surprise Ryan with a list that I have from that I collected the other day, which is 77 reasons, or non-religious reasons, to support man/woman marriage, which is just another way of saying to not support gay marriage. So I'm going to try to list you the best reasons, and then you're going to let me know what you think about those reasons.
I'm already quite delighted at the name. Non-religious reasons to support man/woman marriage. It's like, hey, I support man/woman marriage. It's like, the nuclear family is one of those things that's proven to be very good for everybody involved, but...
It's a myth, though. It doesn't really exist. It exists in such rare few cases. I know of the exceptions, not the rules around me. It's like, your family, for instance... is the exception, you know, the non-divorced parents and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I know, it's practically boring. I was kind of thinking about one of our friends recently, and I realized that I never asked him about his family situation. It's because there's some weird stuff in there, you know, like his dad died, like, early on, and I've never heard anything about the mother situation raised by other people, so I never brought it up, because it's like, what kind of conversation can you have with that person? Typically, you need some kind of... some kind of shared commonality, so that when you're talking about this, you can empathize with the person a little bit. But I've got such a boring family story. My family really are kind of the Cleavers? what were the name? The
I don't know.
The Leave It to Beaver family?
I think they might be the Cleavers. Was it Beaver Cleaver?
It sounds really weird. It doesn't seem right in my head. Right, but anyways, like my family is normal to the point of boring. So
funny that the actual ideal family is dull. What a dull thing.
Pleasantly dull. So little drama. I mean, it's quite nice after, you know, you date enough people and you hear stories about their family. You see firsthand the dysfunction that exists in certain families, and you're just like, wow, thank God for my boring, or thank the spaghetti monster, at least, for my boring family.
You don't want an exciting family life. You know what I mean? You want the nice, boring one. But before we start the show, I do want to mention the fact that I was supposed to have... It's a good thing we didn't mention this on the last free show, because I was going to write the end. I even made myself a note to mention that there was going to be an interview. It was very exciting. I was like, I have been working to interview Great and Square, who's a rapper, atheist rapper, if you want, for a long time, and we finally managed to get in touch. We talked for a little while, and I was like, cool. Wednesday night, because, you know, it's West Coast, and I'm East Coast now, so it's, fuck, man, the time difference will screw with you. But yeah, like, it was all scheduled, I was all ready with my questions, and there were some pretty fucking good ones in there. And then all of a sudden, the night of the interview, his entire Facebook profile disappears. I get an email saying that he's having some kind of personal issue and will not be available to anyone for anything, for who knows how long.
Man.
Yeah. So Great and Square is now, like, his profile, Facebook profile's gone, fucking gone. His fan page is still there, luckily enough. But he is gone. He's gone.
Man, that's too bad, because he's an interesting character. I encourage anybody out there to go check out some of his raps on the YouTubes.
That, and you can check out the one of the main questions that I want to ask was a 2008... arrest when he attacked Brian Sapient of the Rational Response Squad and lay a fucking beat down on his face. So I wanted to ask, what's up with that, dog? What happened there? I will not get to ask that question now, and it's burning up inside me. Like, there is no way to get any version of the story. And you know what? Here's the truth. When I was doing a little bit of research about Graydon, and I was reading everybody's comments about him, it just felt like he was exposing how much of a bunch of pussies we are. You know, like, one person was commenting that he had tweeted that he raped 4 tacos. And they were like, that's the most misogynistic thing I've ever heard. Like, it's a joke, man. He just went through the tacos. Shut the fuck up. Don't write a post about how he's a misogynist, please. I can't even imagine. His response is like, try getting shot at. Then you can tell me that you're being dissed. And you know what? I think that he's just much more real than we're used to. Do you know what I mean? Wasn't a gang and shit like that. I would love to hear, what do you think about us all, like, us pussy-ass atheist bitches? What do you think?
No, no, seriously. I mean, we've talked about this a couple of times. This has been a conversation we've been happening as we try and figure out our place in the atheistic scene and how we fit into, you know, what exists out there in the real world in the form of conferences and lectures and everything else like that. And one thing that we realized, one thing that I realized anyways, when we were at the Montreal one doing the opening podcast, was that the people there are not like you or I. They are all people who are involved in the sciences. They have degrees. They've gone to university. If they are not working in a laboratory every day, it's a bunch of squares. It's a bunch of uppity, high, and no dissing anybody who is like this. Congratulations on being in the highest echelons of fucking.
You are the
stuff.
Elite, sir.
But
and ma'am,
it really doesn't represent the majority of atheists out there. It's just people living day to day who know that God doesn't exist. Yeah. There's a certain snobbiness and there's a certain level. Like, when I tell people that my main job in my life is I blog about Ultimate Fighting, when I tell people the atheist scene about this, oh man, I see them, I see the looking down upon, like, just happen instantly. It's like, oh really? It's like telling them that you follow pro wrestling or something like that.
Well, for a lot of people,
it's pretty much the same
pretty
thing.
Much the same thing, yeah. What I found to be another testament to this, I don't know if we could call it, if we're overly sensitive or whatever, but Unreasonable Faith put up a video That was a parody. Do you remember when they had the whole, they were asking all those Miss USA questions, should evolution be taught in school? And some of them were like, oh, well, I think it's up to the parents to decide with the children whether or not they should be taught scientific facts. That's reality. And then there was this parody video of a whole bunch of dumb chicks, or chick pretending to be dumb, saying, I think that math is shouldn't be taught in school, or at least children at the age of six should decide. So it's funny, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He got a bunch of comments saying that he was being a sexist pig, putting that up. I don't know how. It's just how we are. It's just how some people in this fucking scene are, and everybody overreacts to it. I mean, Unreasonable Faith had to put up the original video and say, I am not trying to be disrespectful, everyone. And I'm like, pussies. And I mean that in the most, really, take it however the fuck you want. Like, send me your hatred. If you're really of the group that is so fucking sensitive that you can't even make that joke anymore, please send me your emails. Send me your emails right away, because I want to hear your insane opinion. I want to hear it. And then I want to read it on my show to make fun of you. That's
people
what I want
to do. People trying to use the greater... People, to me, it all just comes down to this. People trying to affect how other people act. And I'm not really all that down with that.
I'm not down with it. No, I'm really not. I mean, definitely not. Definitely not when it comes to this issue. If you disagree with me, go back and listen to the podcast that I did with Carissa on the issue of sexism and that kind of stuff. I think it was a good show.
I thought you said that didn't go up.
It did go up. No, we did a new one.
Oh, okay.
You remember? I said that the new one was a lot better because we had done a bunch of research. It's actually on the rise of women and the quote-unquote fall of men. It's a very interesting podcast. I recommend that people listen to it. I know that I got a couple people who said that their anecdotal experience was different from what we were trying to say. I'd like to remind everybody that tries to use their own lives to get a greater understanding of the rest of the world is that your life is not representative of everyone else's fucking reality. Okay? That's it. I mean, just don't go to me and tell me I live this life and therefore that's what the rest of the world is like. That's stupid. Okay? That's dumb. Let's move on. Speaking of dumb, I want to move to our first topic. Now, before we begin talking about Tony Anthony, I do want to mention the fact that this is all part of the way that the podcast and the site is changing a little bit. I've decided that rather than just report on what everybody else is reporting, we're just regurgitating all the old shit.
Going with the flow as to what's being talked about other blogs.
On other blogs or just, you know, or what are the conversations that people are having on forums and so on and so forth. What I'm actually looking for are the really interesting stories that are not being told. One example, although this is not going to make a show, was a woman recently who was in a movie called My Tehran for Sale. And a movie basically about a young woman trying to escape Tehran, or trying to escape Iran, excuse me, in order to be able, you know, she seeks asylum in Australia to avoid a repressive government that wants to put her in jail. Now, the actress in that movie was sentenced to a year in jail and 90 lashes. Not very talked about subject, so I did write an article about it, but unfortunately, I would have done a show about this, except for the truth is, there's almost no information about this. Almost none. Like, the mainstream media's coverage of this was essentially linking back to a Christian website owned by a ministry in Georgia. And that's the only reference that I can find. Other than that, an interview from in Australia with the director. But, I mean, you know, saying that that she had been in jail. But there's nothing in terms of any really non-tainted information source that I could talk about. So it would be pure fucking speculation on my part. It'd be no good.
Yeah, and unfortunately we don't read Arabic.
No, we don't. That is a big, huge problem.
And you just don't even want to know, like, the day-to-day stuff that probably happens in Iran and Syria and other places like that that never even gets touched on by anybody, that never makes it to the internet because it's just so day-to-day. I'm part of a Facebook group that's basically coming out of Syria, talking about the shit that happens there. And most of it's in Arabic. Every so often they'll put something through in English that, when they're trying to push like a bigger thing. Like there was a time, what was it, about 6 months ago, a kid that was picked up by the government, by these thugs, and taken to prison, was basically delivered back with his genitals cut off, his nipples cut off, stabbed like hundreds of times, just obviously tortured, like all of his bones broken. It was horrible. And that's just, and every week a YouTube video goes up showing like the corpse of somebody that was taken by these people and then just dumped back out onto the streets days later, weeks later, months later, just brutally tortured and murdered.
I can't report about this type of stuff unless there would be people, you know, like unless I was really there, managed to have some kind of information, and I don't want to.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Be a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist or something? Go out there into the field and pull this off? Just magically do that, Jacob?
Yeah, with all the riches that I have. So, but. It kind of woke me up a little bit to the untold stories and the elements that just no one else has researched. And this is what led me, first of all, to this Tony Anthony. And the first reason why I've actually been made aware of him was because of a site called American Jesus, which is a Christian site which exposes religious fundamentalists. So they have the best information. I can't even possibly imagine anyone who's closer to it than the ones that care about it and just see these guys as ruining everything.
So wait a second. This is a Christian site that exposes Christian frauds?
It's the same thing with Christian Nightmares, the one that you like.
What, Christian Nightmares is a Christian site too?
That is correct.
These are religious people?
These are religious people.
Wow.
They expose the fundamentalists. But ultimately, they are religious, yeah.
Wow, that's really neat. I never knew that. I just thought that the person that put it up was just an ironic hipster that found that stuff hilarious.
And that's what I thought too, until I started doing a little bit of research about, you know, his other channels and who basically lists him and who he sort of like talks about. Essentially, the idea,
his circle of friends,
his
on
circle,
Tumblr.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
So wow. the whole purpose of these groups, though, and these I think. Are really the sources where I'm starting to delve into. I'm like, forget the other atheist blogs. They're just way behind on it, and they're just getting information from other atheists. I want the information from Christians about what is the interesting thing that they see. Because, I mean, say imagine you're a believer, but you are still kind of like, you know, you like enough of reality that you feel that certain people are doing a disservice to your religion by exposing certain very vulnerable elements of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this, so they presented a little video on this Tony Anthony thing, which I'm going to play for you right now. It's about a minute and 40 seconds. It's his preview to just talk about him because he goes around and he does speeches and stuff like that. So let's listen in on what his little video is all about.
People often say that truth is stranger than fiction. And every now and then, a true story comes to light that almost defies belief. Such is the life story of Tony Anthony, who, as a 4-year-old boy, was taken from his parents in London to live with his grandfather in China. His grandfather, a kung fu grandmaster, trains Tony in the art of Shaolin monk traditions of kung fu. After many trials and much suffering, Tony eventually becomes the world kung fu champion. As time passes, Tony is invited to work for the International Kung Fu Federation, an elite bodyguard organization protecting some of the world's richest and most powerful people.
Instead of shooting somebody in their shoulder or their leg to disarm them, instead I would shoot to kill. I would shoot them straight in the face.
Then tragedy strikes, and Tony falls into a downward spiral of self-destruction, which turns him into a bloodthirsty and violent gangster. Tony is subsequently incarcerated into the notorious Nicosia Central Prison, where he finds every form of human depravity.
Right. Okay, so to summarize, this individual claims that he is a 3-time world kung fu champion who, while in jail in Nicosia Prison in Cyprus, was essentially converted to Christianity by this Irish missionary, and he wrote a book about this, and he goes around, he created a ministry called Avanti Ministries now. So there's quite a few people involved, not just him. He's got quite a few fucking individuals, but this guy has been doing the rounds. Now, he's not that huge yet, but he, you know...
He's making a living.
He's making a living, and, you know, he's attracting pretty decent groups of individuals. He seems to have sold his book. If you do a search about him, you know, he's been quite successful plastering himself all over the fucking internet. And what he has done, essentially, is first... One of the reasons why he's pervasive is he's managed to find himself on a lot of Christian talk shows. So he'll be on radio programs, web TV programs, talking about his story. He makes the rounds. They're like the budget equivalent of like The View and stuff like that, for instance.
Yeah, he also, from what I could tell, he does a lot of like seminars and stuff like that. Goes to a lot of those Christian and evangelist gatherings and stuff like that. Well, tells his story.
He tells his story, and he also has this whole youth gathering, which of course you pay for, which will teach you how to spread word of these, you know, Jesus and so on and so forth. And he's essentially using his story, which I'm sure you'll find as we'll go through it, because we have quite a few elements of the story that we gathered. You'll go through it and you're like, this is absolutely fucking ridiculous. Even the video, I think I watched a few videos with people. I'm not sure everybody bought it when they were listening to him, because the problem that I have, first of all, if you go to the notes, check out some videos of him, he's not that compelling of a speaker. Like I don't really buy it. You know, he's talking about one point losing his fiance. He doesn't even blink. You know what I mean? Like a person telling you a very tragic tale of their loved one dying in a car crash. I assure you, that will be a heart. Your voice might crack a little bit or something.
Some people just suck at public speaking.
Is that what his problem is?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's only one of his problems. Look, you did the bulk of the research on this guy. I went to where I always go when it comes to people who make outrageous claims about their martial arts backgrounds. There's two big groups out there that do a similar thing. There's the guys that go out and try to find people who fake their military service, and there's a lot of people like that out there, surprisingly, who claim they were in Vietnam, claim they were war veterans, and create these ridiculous fictional accounts of what happened over during the war to them and how it changed them.
Like in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, basically. So there's a group out there that just goes, the tons and tons of people that go around exposing them, and then there are people who go out and expose what they call martial arts fraudsters. And there's a forum called Bullshito, which is dedicated to nailing people who claim to be fake martial artists, fake martial arts masters, fake mixed martial artists, UFC champions, and all that. And they have a 68-page thread about Tony Anthony. And throughout their entire discussion, and these are people who are researching him, meeting him, asking him questions, investigating everything, trying to look up, looking up all of the specific claims that he made in his book in over 68 pages, not one of them was able to find anything that backed up anything that this guy claimed about his life.
At all.
During that period of time. Like, basically, they're like, up until the point where he married his current wife, everything before that could very well be a complete fabrication, because there's no evidence to prove anything that he says.
Well, I went to one of his sites, which is trying to essentially find a producer for the movie based on the book. Now, I have here, essentially, they have a press package at which they describe the plot. And they say, this is a very exciting movie, so you will want to make this movie because this is what my life is like. And according to him, and this is one of his quotes, that no one has had a harder life than this man. I shit you not, this is a fucking quote, okay?
That's
now,
hilarious.
We begin at the age of 4, okay, where his father, diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, is really taking up much of the mother's time, so he is being neglected and as a result is sent with his grandfather, a Kung Fu grandmaster from the Shaolin tradition, to China. So, come with me, child, you're going to be there. Now, while he's there, of course, because he's only half Chinese, being, I think, the other half Italian or Greek, I'm not quite sure. Anyways, He's only half Chinese. So there he is. He's considered a round eye, which they don't even use as insults. First of all, that's a North American fake insult that apparently Chinese say, round eye. Because what, they think their eyes aren't round? Like, what the fuck is that? That's actually from his press package. Note to Tony Anthony, round eye's not something that Chinese people say. Okay? Moving on. So his grandfather's apparently a very cruel man, begins his tutelage in, you know, the scenic nature in China. So already you're like, hey, let's film on location. You've got your kung fu story of grandpa teaching the outsider kung fu, and he's rejected and even abused by, you know, everyone around him. Hmm. Now, when he becomes a teenager and you know, is obviously chiseled with muscle, because this is an important thing of movies here, some of his cousins get kidnapped by a gang of drug dealers, and he faces off like a triad knife fight in which he ends up victorious because of his speed and agility. And this is one of several tests that his grandfather puts him through in order for him to prove himself a master of this martial art.
So the triad kidnappings were a plan by his grandfather to, or was his grandfather just like, go rescue your cousins?
No, no, it wasn't a plan, but it's sort of like, all right, opportunity for you to prove yourself, go rescue them. Huzzah! Oh, I forgot to mention the most delicious moment is that as a young child, the reason he's so gifted, you understand, is because he learned to harness the power of chi. And he met up with a young tiger, a white tiger, while in China, and he befriended the tiger, who learned, and he learned the movements of this tiger, and that's why he's called Little Tiger, which is Lo Fu Zai. But that's not really what that means, actually. I've been researching that doesn't mean that at all.
Yeah, I also one of those claims, the Bullshido guys looked into it. No white tigers where he claimed to be. None.
So eventually, his skills, a la kickboxer, land him the attention of this shady organization, which apparently hires kung fu people to act as bodyguards for the wealthy. Because who doesn't want a shady bodyguard organization with kung fu masters, right? Because that's obviously what you want as a bodyguard, a kung fu master.
Now, hey, back in the 80s, they didn't know that kung fu sucked.
Well, this wasn't the 80s. This would probably be in the 90s. Because he claims to have been a grandmaster, to have won the kung fu, a three-time world kung fu champion or whatever from 1987 or 89. It's not actually clear because it sometimes switches from one to the other. But somewhere in the late 80s. So his bodyguard work would have been a few years after that. So we're talking about the 90s, you know, the Miami Vice era.
Yeah, but I always say, you know, when we talk about the 80s, I say that the 80s didn't end in 1990. They ended in 1994.
It's true.
Because, like, when you look at all of the music and clothing and hair and style, and
they really
else,
peaked in the 90s, like, or in the early 90s.
Yeah, exactly. It was still pretty ridiculous right up until that point. And then we started transitioning away from, you know, the neon fabrics and
to the more of a Reality Bites kind of grungy,
yeah,
gross
alternative.
Yeah. I agree with you. The 80s are not really the 80s. Mm-hmm. So while in this style period of the 80s, yes, I'm sure he was a bodyguard, Miami Vice style, and while as a bodyguard, he sort of gets involved in sort of the sex, drugs, and blah, blah, blah. The exciting life of a kung fu bodyguard for the rich and wealthy, of course. Mm-hmm. But he finds that it's also pretty much just boring work, so he's not being very fulfilled. Fortunately, he gets more exciting assignments, one of them being in the Middle East, not clear where. But during a high-speed chase with some kinds of assassin for his client. Again, I don't know who the client is. Doesn't matter. But during this high-speed chase through, well, let's call it Cairo, because he's not even very specific. But we'll say Cairo. It ends in the desert where his fucking partner is shot and killed. So, dead partner, no!
Nice. That's a lethal weapon tie-in right there. Very nice.
Yep, and after that, he's in London. He falls in love with a Swiss law student. You know, probably looks a lot like the chick from Lethal Weapon 2, yeah. Except for not South African, but Swiss. So tall, blonde, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, she dies because of a drunk driver, because all those Brits are drunks. And he falls into some kind of despair, if you want. At the same time, his father, who again has that illness, needs a lot of money. I don't know, maybe apparently there's a cure now for multiple sclerosis. I don't know, they just need a bunch of money. So he decides that he's going to commit a series of heists. And then he gets caught in one heist, and he ends up in a prison in Cyprus. And while in this prison, he encounters a criminal by the name of Al Capone, but, you know, with the nickname of Al Capone. And I want to read you the excerpts where this happens, because this is the chapter of his book that's available for free on the site. And I want to read you some of the best lines from it, if you don't mind. Al Capone, or Al Capone, as the Greeks called him, was a nasty piece of work. No one knew his real name. He was one of the mentally deranged and criminally insane. The courts didn't bother with asylums. They just abandoned their madmans among the rest of us. They were a law unto themselves. Al Capone was one of the worst, a barbaric Cypriot. He was a loner who barely spoke his own language. Serving time for murder and multiple rape, he was a grade one psychopath. Whilst the rest of us occupied our time with drug use, petty theft, primarily cigarettes and chocolate, which were the main form of currency, and occasional arts and crafts, Al Capone spent his days mutilating and raping other inmates. He was a lifer on a mission to make a living hell for the rest of us. On the day Shane was brutalized, I vowed his vengeance would be mine. Al Capone was a foot taller than me. He pushed weights and his arms were as thick as my thighs, but I knew I could have him. I knew I could kill him with my bare hands and make him suffer for every blow, every stinking sordid deed, every drop of Shane's blood. It wasn't enough to kill him. I'd make him beg for mercy before releasing him to his devils. I was a world-class kung fu champion with the skill to burst him open and break him into a million pieces. He's very understated about his martial arts, though. He doesn't like to really talk about it now. But he was skilled enough. Million pieces. Watch out. And you know what's funny? If you watch video after video where he will constantly just make mention of it, my three-time world kung fu championship is not relevant to this conversation. You're like, well, then why did you mention it? It didn't seem like it was necessary to mention. Here's the part that I really love, which gets you a good idea of how awesome his kung fu is. This is sort of where he's now in the fight and he's being grabbed. The stench of his breath was sickening as he leant the full weight of his body against me, pushing his nose to mine. A blade dug sharply in my neck, waiting to slice my jugular. Immediately, I grabbed his greasy face with my free left hand, my thumb over his eye socket, ready to puncture. I knew I would receive a life-threatening cut, but that did not matter. Nothing mattered anymore. I must die, but I would kill him first. Sounds like a good kung fu master, fucking eye-poking, that kind of stuff. Excellent.
Oh, it's like the first thing you learn in kung fu is kick him in the nuts and poke him in the
eyes.
Poke
him in the eye. I wanted his blood. I'd easily take his eye before ripping off his ear with my teeth. Fury boiled with me, but suddenly there was something else. In the heart of those split seconds, I was strangely aware of a much deeper battle raging within. It had little to do with Al Capone. This one was all mine. It was as though some kind of new consciousness was awaking the ingrained instincts that made me the combat fighter I was. Although I focused my attention on Al Capone's ear, I had an image in my head of something I had read that morning. A man unjustly arrested, his friend defending him, cutting off the ear of the servant of his accuser. Al Capone's ear was just inches away from my mouth. Come on, Tony, just bite. You're fast, you can take it, the voice of my instinct spoke. No, wait. Who shall draw the sword, die by the sword. Where did that come from? It's really great writing. Come on, boy, just do it. What are you waiting for? As the conflict raged within me, I felt Al Capone's free hand grasping down at my groin. His evil grin bared broken, rotten teeth as my fingers dug into his face, stretching and tearing at the leathery skin. There was a voice again. Come on, are you going to let yourself be cut and raped like Shane? What was stopping me? I didn't know. I kept a tight grip on the brute as his neck locked me against the wall, but something was preventing me from making my next move. The two voices of my inner being battled in the time it took for a drop of sweat to roll down Al Capone's face, but it was as though time was standing still. It was a debate that addressed a whole lifetime and challenged the very core of who I was, who I had become. I knew which voice had to win, but what then? Could I allow myself to be mutilated, just like my friend? Or could I really trust this new consciousness, this new voice that seemed so determined, so sure? Suddenly, words came out of my mouth. They were calm, clear, authoritative. Al Capone knew only Greek, but in the surrealism of the moment, I spoke English. As I said the words, I released my hold and waited. In the next split second, I felt the weight of shock through Al Capone's body. He shivered and goosebumps rose in his clammy skin. His murky eyes glared in terror as I braced myself for the assault. Suddenly, my body heaved as he loosened his grip. We stood still inches apart, glaring at one another's face. Then in a moment, he turned and fled. He was like a man possessed, running with his hands shielding his head. His blood-curdling scream bounced off the concrete walls as I watched him disappear in the darkness. I put my hand to my neck and peeled the blade from my skin. It hadn't left a mark. What were the words? I don't know. I'd have to buy the book, but I don't want to know what the words are. They were probably, "In Jesus' name!" And here we get a full front assault of a preview from his book. Doesn't it make you feel like it's very exciting here that all these things that are happening are absolutely real?
Mm.
No, you're not sold on this? It's a very powerful moment, yeah. When he realized in the midst of being attacked and raped that he should let go of his accuser. Wow, what a powerful and stupid moment that a person should have. Let me tell you something. Okay, you're in jail. A man, clearly a rapist and a murderer, is assaulting you. You don't let go of him and speaking to him in a foreign language. Just going to put that out there.
Yeah, I know Christians say turn the other cheek, but not like spread the cheek.
Yeah, don't spread. Better alive than spread is what I say. Now, the thing I find interesting about this guy, other than his absolutely false claims about being a kung fu master, traveling the world, and so on and so forth, I find it weird that this is the avenue that he's chosen to try to spread Christianity. You know what I mean? Like, I probably would believe the fact that he went to jail. He strikes me as someone who could as easily been in jail for whatever fucking reason.
Look, when you are this grand of a liar, when you make such ridiculous claims about the history of your life, then you can most definitely be the kind of person that would end up in a Cyprus jail. For who knows what.
Yeah. I would love to know what the real story of this Tony Anthony is. Now, obviously his site, his TonyAnthony.net, understands that most of us would be very skeptical about his claims and have probably tried to do some searches. Now, he says there's a number of reasons why it is impossible to find information. Actually, what's funny about the site is it's actually almost entirely trying to address the fact that he doesn't exist anywhere and that there's absolutely no proof of what he does. But to explain that away, here are some of the reasons why, you can't see anything about him. Number one, he used a different alias during his fights in China. What that alias is, he will not tell you. Of course, he's a changed man. He doesn't want to tell you. It would ruin the story to tell you. Number two, there are many different kung fu schools. And really, trying to find out who gives what awards, that's really hard. Almost impossible. So.
Yeah, but if you're a world kung fu champion, then it goes, and that meant something, then it kind of makes sense that it would have to have some kind of world recognition. Otherwise, then you are not a world kung fu
champion. Right, but he had a different alias for that as well, which he will not reveal. I've already made inquiries with the International Kung Fu Federation. We'll see if they respond. I doubt it. Their website looks like it was made in 1990. Okay? So what are you going to do? He also says that he changed the names of many of the organizations in the book, which is why you can't see anything about them, because he didn't want to draw attention to them, obviously.
Yeah, why would you ever want to do that? That would be bad, right?
Right. Yeah. Drawing attention to them would be bad.
Yeah.
Well, you have to understand, though, you don't want to draw attention to an international federation of fucking assassins.
Okay, well, that I suppose is true.
There you go. And the most important thing that the website says is that the story is not really about him. even though the Jesus part really only covers a superficial aspect of this make-believe story. But the story is really about Jesus, because he allowed him to no longer be the kung fu action master that he was. And now he has devoted himself exclusively to spreading Christianity through his incredible tale. That doesn't make any sense. There's a couple other things that I wanted to mention, kind of some quotes that I have from some of his videos, but I know that most of you don't check out the notes of the show. Even though that's a mistake, check the notes, folks. Some fucking awesome videos, some awesome links, just do it. Now, in one of the videos, they focus quite a bit on this whole prison ministry thing. So he goes to prisons and he gives speeches to inmates. So he finds, you know, wardens that are heavily influenced by Christianity, and they're like, let's go to prisons and talk to these prisoners and say, I was one of you, even though I can't find a record of, like,
even
his incarceration.
No proof.
Even though there's no fucking proof. But he says, I was one of you, and Jesus really changed my life. So during one of these tours, he said a couple things that I thought were quite interesting. The first one is that the speech that really changed his mind was when this Irish guy, and this is again for the movie, by the way, like when the Irish guy comes over and starts telling him about Jesus, this Michael Wright guy, that doesn't sound very Irish, but whatever, this Michael Wright character just, you know, tells him, oh, no, you know, you can't let yourself get influenced by violence, which is why that whole voice in the chapter thing that I just read you where that came from. So this character tells him this, which is what basically convinces him, is that God, he loves us. He's like a loving daddy up in heaven. These are his exact words. We must be willing to move away from the bad things in life and say sorry to Jesus. The second thing we must do is surrender to Jesus. He said to me, Tony, you've been putting your world championship in kung fu, sex, drugs, violence, and even your religion as a Buddhist, but you've never tried Jesus Christ. And this really affected him. This was really the speech that convinced him that he had put so much, including his amazing 3-time world kung fu championship, which he cannot stop fucking saying every 5 minutes. I swear to you. I mean, the fact that it's so not real and he keeps saying it, oh, I just, it burns me up whenever one of these fuckfaces who is not being at all investigated, like, he'll go on a show, on one of these Christian shows, and they'll be like, wow, what an amazing tale. Has any of you done any research about any of this being real? No. Any of you are going to ask questions like, for instance, what were you in this jail for? Here's a good question. Number two, can you say something in Chinese or Greek? Because apparently you speak both fluently, and I would love to hear you speak in those languages, because I don't actually believe that you can speak either of those.
Let's see some of your kung fu.
See some of your fucking kung fu. Like, that's the first one that comes to mind, right? I looked to just see if there was maybe shots of him, you know, on camera showing a couple kung fu things. Nothing.
Guys from the Bullshido form would go up to him at some of his speaking things and be like, show me some of your stuff. Show me some stances. Do this and that. And he was like, no, I have given up. I do not use kung fu anymore. I am a new man now.
I think someone should attack him and see if anything happens other than him curling up into a ball and crying. Not that I'm advocating doing that, but, you know.
Interesting test.
A little bit of an interesting test. Yeah. It's just because he's adopted, like, this must be the brilliant strategy. If you're going to invent a story of your life, wrap it around in the Jesus bow, because no one in the scene will ever fucking ask you any questions about it. And because it's some kind of heathenistic, ancient, outworldly thing, you can say, I've rejected all of that because of its Buddhist, pagan origin. So I'm never going to do it again. Yay, I never have to prove anything I said. It's fucking brilliant. Maybe that's what I really secretly hate about it. It really is a money-making scheme. He's going to be printing his own money. I can only imagine more idiots falling for his bullshit. And if his book is any suggestion, it's essentially it reminds me a little bit of only in the most superficial way of a true tale of a friend of ours who actually did go to China, did learn martial arts from masters. Sounds nothing like that experience, let me tell you what.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, when I read the legitimate version of that story. There was a couple things that were missing, including I'm not sure that Kung Fu people are really being trained in driving arts or other all-weapons combat and things like that. And no, doesn't really. And usually when you defend yourself in Kung Fu championships, you defend yourself through schools or through other organizations. You don't just go as an independent. You have to represent something. So we would love to hear the name of the school or any of those other details. It's very important.
Yeah, all the stuff, all the details he had about the life he lived in China, all basically not sounding legit.
I checked to see if there was any indication, you know, like maybe just something simple of saying, well, what parts of China did you go to? You know, just kind of the easy basics that even a person who is just trying to develop a complicated lie would probably research. But I'm afraid that his lying is just lame, you know what I mean? He doesn't even need to try that hard because he's not dealing with an overly skeptical crowd. I mean, remember, this is just a fluff tale to sell something, which is essentially his, you know, what his book, his ministry, his plans. I don't know what the fuck they are, quite honestly. I'm not even convinced that he's a legitimate believer. If his plan is just to make money, then...
Mission accomplished.
Mission fucking accomplished. If his plan is to travel around, continuing to make people believe in his BS story, then... And what the hell? You know what? If this had been the ancient world, think about this. If there's no way for us to easily research his claims, what if you're a guy 2,000 years ago making all kinds of motherfucking claims like, hey, I'm a god. You know? Who's going to verify what I claim? Nobody, because everybody around me is like, wow, that's amazing.
Oh, man. Before the internet? No. I mean, look at it like this. Remember the movie Bloodsport?
Yeah.
Frank Dukes, the guy who the story is quote-unquote based on, had a similar elaborate lie about his entire life as a martial arts master slash secret agent, and it was all a complete lie as well. And
I actually feel that this book, Taming the Tiger, is actually a ripoff of Bloodsport to a certain degree, because it just seems to just steal from the core idea. If you want, just oh yeah, the kung fu mystery action, these things, they're stereotypes, for God's sakes. I mean, his whole story with the grandfather hitting him with a stick and so on and so forth, I swear to you, I'm pretty sure there's a couple movies he just ripped right at that.
He had several stories that were taken right from the TV show Kung Fu. There was one about how he had lifted a boiling pot, which is literally right out of the opening credits for the TV show Kung Fu.
But didn't you know that that's what they really do? Lifting pots of boiling oil? Come on now. And he lifted it with his elbows, whatever that fucking means. It's like, hey, let's see the scars, man. Boiling oil? Yeah. I believe the Kung Fu dude had scars, did he not? The Kung Fu dude, he had scars, because when you lift the thing, it has like an emblem of whatever bullshit story school you just made for your show.
Yeah, one of the Bullshito guys says that he did ask to see the scars and was shown one of them, and that did look like there was some kind of scar on his elbow, but as to how legit it was, it was still very fishy. It's like this is the key thing. Every single person that went and talked to him, that investigated his claims, went away saying, I don't believe anything this person is saying. It's like, on the surface, so like, you know, what he tells you might not seem like an outright lie, but you always walk away going, there's no evidence to this whatsoever. Nothing convincing.
Well, let's move on. I'll be posting up some of the links to this guy on the site if you don't read the notes, so check it out, because I think that you'll find this man to be particularly hilarious. And if there any of you super sleuths have even more information about him, I would love to hear it, because he's a good example of someone that I just want to tag. If we can expose this kind of ridiculous man, then I think that we've done something positive. Like, we can do this. It's not impossible. I'm sure that he has probably spent, judging by his accent, almost his entire life in Britain, I would say.
Well, this is what you got to watch out for, because in Britain they can sue you.
I'm not in Britain. So he can suck my dick. And besides, if he would have spent so many years in China, wouldn't he be sort of no longer, wouldn't he be an expat or something like that? There's tons of information that you could just get from him that I'm sure are just open to the public, like some real investigators could find out. I'm only one man, and apparently trying to investigate one Superman capable of doing all kinds of things, mastering cheese and, you know, surviving Cyprus jails and learning languages and then probably forgetting about them entirely years later.
And winning the World Kung Fu Championship 3 years.
3 years in a row. He's amazing. All for the love of his Chinese grandfather, who just did not return his love. Right. Okay, I want to move on to my next challenge, which is the 77 non-religious reasons to support man and woman marriage. That was essentially published.
77 reasons why fags can't marry. Brr.
This is published by an organization called the Ruth Institute. I talked about them a couple of days ago because the Friendly Atheist had a group of individuals that went to one of those marriage conferences, and this was one of the pamphlets that was available there. And I'm like, I thought that was the most interesting part, like how they actually tried to communicate their crazy bigoted bullshit to non-religious people. So this is intended for us. So this is why I decided to read it. Now, I'm going to read to you a selection, I guess. I don't know if we were going to go through every single one.
Oh, God, I hope not. 77 is a lot, and I'm sure most of them are stupid.
Yeah, most of them are pretty stupid. Okay, I'm going to read to you number 18, which is one of the selections that I chose. Without man/woman marriage, there would be no institution specifically protecting the rights of children to be in a relationship with both parents. So that's reason number 18. So apparently, if gays are allowed to marry, that will completely and utterly... you won't be able to have a relationship with your kids because gay sex is disgusting. Number 22... If the love between adults were the only important factor, we would expect step-parents to be interchangeable with biological parents. But this is not the case.
Jeez, I feel really bad for all the step-parents out there.
I know, who just heard that?
Who just heard that and realized that their love sucks.
Hey, take that, Kurt Russell. I know that Kate Hudson says that you're her real dad, but she doesn't really love you. You can't have a relationship.
Well, I mean, you know, God assigns you a dad, and if that dad doesn't love you, then you're fucked.
It's his fault because he didn't accept Jesus, really, if you just trace it back.
Probably.
Okay, number 29. Same-sex marriage makes an implicit statement that mothers and fathers are interchangeable and sex is irrelevant to parenting. The burden should be on those making this strong, non-intuitive claim. So let me translate here. They're saying that the burden of proof is on people making an extraordinary claim. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, though?
Now, I do have, there have been multiple studies, including one by the American Psychological Association, that found that beyond the whole stereotyping of parental roles, there's absolutely no importance. It's true. The statement that parenting or gender roles is not necessarily important to parenting seems to be so far true. Maybe that's disturbing to us because we're like, oh, no! Maybe. And you know what? This whole document really sounds like it's actually trying to talk to disillusioned fathers who find themselves without power, you know, because let's move on to the next one. Number 32, mothers and fathers each make unique contributions to the child's development. Father's absence creates risks in children that mother's absence does not create. So it's kind of saying like dad's not being there is even more important than mom's not being there, which is actually completely the opposite. And really in parents in which there was a father involved, there was a negative involvement, that would actually be worse than if there was no involvement at all. So maybe we have to face that kind of cruel reality at one point, saying like, yeah, our involvement with the child isn't, you know, if you're trying to paint it in a gender-based only issue, we're not going to be looking too good on this one.
We're not going to win.
We're not going to win on that one. And it shouldn't be about that. It should just be about how the parent cares about the child. I don't care if you have a dick or a vagina. Are you the better parent? That should be what matters. But as far as they want to sort of like say, it's like, no, it's these strong gender identities clearly delineated and mandated by the state in which there can be no other delineation. Only this will save the children. Save the children! Okay, number 33. Teenage boys without fathers are at risk for juvenile delinquency, violence, criminal activity, gang membership, and incarceration. So somehow that is why you should support or not support gay marriage.
I'm sure there's a whole bunch that are at risk who have dads, too. Present dads.
Hey, I got an idea. I got an idea. You want the guy to have two dads? We can make that happen. We can make that happen. Number 41, once same-sex marriage becomes legal and socially acceptable, more women will decide to raise children together. They will view this as easier than putting forth the effort of crossing the gender divide and cooperating with a man through marriage. So what does that translate?
Men can't compete with a lesbian relationship.
That seems to be what they're saying. We're not worth it, girls.
You know what? I will say this, is that if it wasn't for the butt sex, a man-man relationship is pretty awesome. I mean, women are annoying. Man-women relationship.
Send your comments to ryan@thegoodatheist.com. Nope, that's not our address. It'll go nowhere.
It's just hilarious. That's a good one. I like that one.
Okay, number 55. The judges who imposed same-sex marriage in Iowa stated, the research suggests that the traditional notion that children need a mother and father to be raised into a healthy, well-adjusted adult is based more on stereotypes than anything else. This is not true as a general statement.
No, they're just like, that's not true.
Exactly.
Even though that was based on scientific evidence.
Exactly. So the translation to that is that this contradicts what we think we already know about reality, so fuck you. This is not true. Not true. I'm like, why did you print this? Number 57, if enough judges say enough implausible things, people will lose respect for the law.
So now they're just following that up by saying that judges are lying about stuff.
I think what they're saying is essentially that if the laws no longer suit what we want them to be, we will ignore them. Or we will begin to lose faith in the justice system because it doesn't operate exactly how we want it to operate.
You could totally ignore the law that says gay people can get married and they'll be perfectly happy with it. It would be better if religious people just ignored that law and just pretended it didn't exist and just leave these people to do what they fucking want to do.
I don't think that's what they believe ignoring means. I don't think that's what they think ignoring.
That's too bad. And of course these judges forcing these laws upon all of us.
Forcing these horrible laws. They're forcing other people to voluntarily have marriage.
Forcing
bastards.
Other people's freedom on us. Those assholes.
It's unbelievable. Number 60. By the time the activists are finished, there will be nothing left of marriage but a government registry of friendships. So, marriage will be completely and utterly pointless. You and I could be just married, because it's all friendships, right? Just a registry of friendships. If we can register friendships, that's a unique thing. Do I get your assets if our friendship dissolves? Like, I'm curious here. What the fuck the story is, this whole registry of friendships?
I don't know, but let me tell you this. The way that the last two generations have handled marriage is pretty much the best don't get married fucking encouragement not to get married that there will ever be. Is how the last two generations have so failed at marriage.
Well,
so,
this is depressing.
Gay marriage has nothing to do with the fact that marriage is in shambles. The way that the government currently regulates it now and the way that we saw our generations of parents and the happiness or misery that they got out of it is pretty much it just answers its own question.
I think the problem with marriage is that there's a lot of pressures associated with marriage, right? And those pressures, if you want, force people to make probably, you know, the wrong decisions for the wrong reasons. I see a lot of fucking people getting married where nobody really steps in and saying, is that the best fucking idea? You know, sure, there could be a lot of love between individuals, but I mean, ultimately, that doesn't determine compatibility.
Well, anybody that gets married before they know each other for 3 years, I'm sorry, all the listeners, I'm sure if this applies to you, then it doesn't apply to you. But anybody that gets married before they know each other for 3 years, bad idea. Bad idea, trust me. It takes about 3 years before you start getting sick of somebody. So.
See, hear that, ladies? He's single. All right, let's also cover number 77, the last one, says the same-sex marriage amounts to a hostile takeover of civil society by the state. So that's what same-sex marriage is. It is a hostile takeover, sir. Society is at risk if we allow gay people to have the same rights. Because then that means that they can have the same rights.
Yeah, I think I've said this a couple of times before on other shows, but I'm really glad that religion is going to die on this hill. Like, the abortion one is really annoying, and I hate it. The gay one, it's like I feel bad for the gays and the fact that they have to put up with it. But trust me, religion will lose on this one. And as an atheist, it's going to really hurt them badly. I mean, already we're seeing, because of the gay agenda, kids coming up in society nowadays don't see anything wrong with homosexuality.
Oh my God!
They see it as bigotry, plain and simple. The same way we see, like, the way that people used to act in the 60s towards blacks was just disgusting. And it's just a natural progression. And all of this is I mean, this is a pamphlet. This is a PDF that will be visible to us forever. All of this,
proof.
All of
glorious
this evidence
proof.
Of the bigotous nature of religion will just be there. And it'll be...
It will indict them. They yeah. can't... The internet will forget nothing of what they posted. It's... Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is probably the worst strategy that they could, apply. But in a certain sense, it's kind of... They're looking at it from this perspective that if it wasn't just a sheer numbers game, it's the way to go, right, in North America? I mean, the population's getting older, and older people are more religious. But if you're putting all your faith in them, I got news for you. They're all going to die, man. That's why whenever you look at reports saying by 2030 or even earlier than that, many countries, even Canada is included in this, will no longer be considered religious. Like, and that has almost everything to do with the fact that the elderly are the ones that still hold on to this. And unsurprisingly, they are also the ones who just... overwhelmingly did not like gay people because they weren't part of a culture that saw that as no fucking big deal. They saw it, in fact, as a very giant big deal. Definitely tons of fucking... Think about throughout the history of the West, if you want. Think about how long gays have had the shitty end of the sexual orientation stick. How long has that been going? This is probably the best time for them, and it's not even that great. Think about the suicide rates for young gay men. It's just ridiculously high, right? Because all they're told is that they're fucking giant pieces of shit, and that's better than it used to be. That's as good as it's been. That's fucked up. Yeah. That is fucked up. And I'm sure in the future, we won't be part of that future, but I think it will be a great future where we can look at that and finally be ashamed of ourselves. And just put that behind us. Not forget it, but say, we're not going to be like this anymore. That's not going to be us. We're not going to look at a person's sexual orientation and say, you don't deserve to have the same rights as everybody else.
It's going to be another generation. It's going to take another generation to get the influence of the elderly bigots out of...
Yeah, but that's just here. I mean, how much work do we have to do in Uganda? How much work do we have to do in the rest of Africa, in Asia, you know, in the Middle East? It's a nightmare. We're looking at probably another fucking 100 years of this bullshit for everyone to catch up. But you gotta be that shining city on the hill, you know what I mean, to some degree. You have to be a beacon of fucking hope for people. Because the whole world's not all going to fall at the same time. But goddammit, we can definitely say that we're on that top. We are the shining motherfucking city on the hill because we're not the ones going around saying, oh, if other people have the same rights as me, it'll ruin everything.
Yeah, the thing that bugs me the most about these guys is how they keep on talking about how they're infringing on our freedoms. Oh, the irony on that is just off the charts.
Well, it's kind of like that doublespeak, you know what I mean? Like the Ministry of Freedom kind of doublespeak, where as soon as you're saying, oh, well, our rights are being infringed. No, you are infringing on the rights of others is what's happening. You believe that you have this right to not be offended. This is a false view of things. You don't have that right. Fuck you. Shut the fuck up. That's all that can be said about that. So I hope you enjoyed the list of 77. It'll be in the notes. You guys can sort of go on and comment which one's your favorite one. I think my list is pretty good, but I missed a few. I mean, there are 77 of them, folks. That's
and they're all just so logical. They make so much sense.
Yeah, most of them are also... There's a couple interesting ones about them saying, like, oh, and the Quebec government... So we actually get mentioned here in Quebec. The Quebec government was trying to institute their educational program on Mennonite schools... So in other words, private schools that are given the mandates of the government of what is your curriculum, and they were like, oh, they tried to include that homosexuality wasn't a sin in their mandate. They're like, that's the government's fucking purview to stick with what's scientifically true. Sorry. Sorry, we could have gone with your book of bullshit fairy tales, or we could have gone with essentially scientific consensus. We chose scientific consensus. Silly us. We should have just known that Jesus already knew that fags are horrible. He died for our sins so that we could send him to hell. Okay, well, you know what? I think that's going to wrap up the show. I'd like to thank everybody who's a contributing member. Anybody that's a new, you know, that's been just starting to follow us, because I do realize that it's been a bit of a momentum gain. There's lots of new listeners and stuff. For those of you that are new, remember to check out the notes section in the podcast. If you have an iPod, just go to the lyrics section. We include all the notes with references and links, cool stuff. Also, go to the site. In the podcast, I'll put up all the links and their subsequent reference numbers. They'll be up. So you can also go to the site to check those things out, too. They give you a more complete experience, baby. You get to really understand just how nutty everything is.
Would you like to know more?
Would you like to know more? Click, click. And in the future, my hope is, as this enterprise gets a little bit bigger, it'll be even more sophisticated. Your ability to browse through it will be enhanced. And there is one last thing I wanted to probably mention. This is a letter I got from a member on YouTube, actually. He sent me this through YouTube, not through regular means. He says, "I think you are missing out on the huge audience by not being more active on YouTube. Message received, currently working on some videos." I get it. I know. Sometimes it takes somebody to shame me to remind me, but thank you for the shame. I understand that sometimes. It's a very, very powerful emotion. If you're a member and you want to hear more, remember we have a patronage system. $20 a year gets you membership, or you can pay $5 a month if that's just easier to you than giving the $20 a year. And if you want to contribute more, we love that some of you do that. We're going to be offering a lot more features coming up in the near future. I just have to get my ass going and generate the funds in order to be able to do so, but it is coming, and those changes are going to be awesome. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.